Dan and Rand and Jay will share tales of folks so unaware they lack in grace and sometimes choose the life they choose will make the news. Breaking down each epic fail in Florida, there's half price bail. I'm happy to say they
couldn't make this up.
So listen to our podcast jam with co-host Arm and Dan. Bender, don't be a jerk, cause when the music hits, the funny hits, and we are gonna take you down. Stick around. Make a sound,
hunker
down, it's Dumb People Town.
Hey, Townies, welcome to another episode of Dumb People Town. Population you.
Oh, Dan, why'd you try to, you jumped in on the end. And
what?
What are you, I mean, we're trying to go. Now you're doing it over what I'm saying.
Oh, hey, we got a great show today.
Dan.
Townies, we have a great show today because we have a fantastic guest, a man who's got an incredible podcast himself, amongst all the other things that he's doing, including he's very, very funny in the new Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler movie. But I would call it the new Will Ferrell, Jason Mantzoukas. Why aren't people calling the new Will Ferrell, Jason Mantzoukas movie?
Yeah.
The house, Jason Mantzoukas.
Or the Amy Poehler, Jason Mantzoukas movie.
Vehicle.
Why don't they call it the Mantzoukas movie?
Yeah, the Mantzoukas vehicle.
How about the Mantzoukas effect? They should have called that the movie.
Yeah.
Even though you're not playing yourself in it, they still call it the Mantzoukas effect.
That would be amazing. If like my actual name was constantly used in the marketing of things for movies that I played characters in.
Well, you know how they cut trailers out of things that don't actually make
sure.
it in the movie? That would be another version
there
of like, hey man, it's just what the trailer company wanted to do.
It's the Mantzoukas effect.
The Mantzoukas effect is in full effect.
It's a law of increasing returns.
But what a great movie. We heard from Rory Scovel, who we heard was very, very funny in the movie
as well. He is so funny in the movie. He has one of my favorite lines in the whole movie.
That is great.
I'm going to tell you what it is.
Do it.
He says, while not wearing a shirt, I want to fight a dog. it's such a good line.
He was out with us telling us how unbelievably hilarious you are in this movie.
Thank you, Rory.
Not that it's, you know, we can't even really talk about breakouts with you because you've already done so many great things, but he said you guys are going to love Mantzoukas in this movie.
Oh, that's sweet of him. He's the best and is himself incredibly hilarious in the movie.
But to be working with Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, friends of yours, I'm sure.
Yep.
And just people you knew from back in New York and whatnot.
It was very fun to just be going to a job that was like a big Hollywood movie and have it be everybody in my peer group, like just hanging out doing bits, just doing
gaggery. Gaggery.
Yeah.
Well, I love that that's, and so movie, it comes out on, when is this drop? It's probably already out by the time.
Oh, it is out. It's currently out. It is rocking a solid 16% on Rotten Tomatoes. It has performed poorly.
Okay.
But I'm going to tell everybody that's listening to go see it because it's very funny.
Yes.
I'm sure it is.
Screw that.
Yeah.
So I give Rotten Tomatoes 16%.
Interesting. I like that we're turning it around like this.
As far as like rating sites go, I'm like, make yourself easier to
find. I'd rather go to Metacritic.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Fuck you, Rotten Tomatoes.
Metacritic aggregates criticisms
in a better,
more easy to read way.
I just threw a tomato at my computer screen on Rotten Tomatoes. Anyway, it is really nice to have you here. And
thrilled to be here.
You have a great podcast, How'd This Get Made?
Oh, yes.
Talk about how the hell ridiculous movies ever get made.
Yes.
What is your favorite one that you've ever done of that? Because, look, I know you've done a million of them, but
there are different categories of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, for example, like, one of my all-time favorites is The Room, just because it is, like, the apex of that version of terrible movie.
It's probably the one that everyone's like, you probably went to The Room and said, we need to do a podcast about movies on how they get made.
You know what it was? It could have been.
Could have been. Should have been.
The movie that inspired the entire podcast was Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. And it was simply because we had all randomly seen it and were at a friend's like party and just all ended up sitting around a dinner table just talking about the nonsense that was this movie.
And afterwards
I said to Paul, I was like, that's a podcast.
Yeah.
And then that was it.
I love it. And it is so well loved. Again, you tap into the movie culture and, you know, You say Wall Street Money Never Sleeps. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Which is not true because money does sleep sometimes.
Like, yeah.
No, yeah, money, whenever I start investing in things, that's when money goes to sleep.
Gets knocked out and
goes into a coma.
Right. But I do think there are a lot of people who are like, that's not that bad of a movie. But you listen to the way you guys break it down. I love is that you take a movie that maybe not everybody is on board. The Room is traditionally
categorically terrible movie.
Yeah.
But we'll do and that's what I was going to say. Some of my favorite ones are the ones where there's some sort of disagreement. We do the all the Fast and Furious movies because they're the best.
They're amazing.
But we love them. And for example, we did Face Off.
Yeah.
Which I contend is a good movie.
And who was
Paul against? And June were
June
like,
was like
Paul and June were like, this is a bad movie.
So now you guys get into a fight. What was your stance as to why it was a good movie?
I think partially it's nostalgia.
Yeah.
You know, because I loved it when I saw it.
People loved it.
I think it's absurd. And the performances are like dialed up to 900.
Know that John Travolta wants to be someone else in his life. So the ability to act as in own skin, but as someone
Nicolas Cage?
Else, to me, that is an interesting, that is an interesting thing to be like, I'm doing and he kind of did a little Nicolas Cage.
Oh, he's definitely
doing
it.
He's straight up caging it.
Oh, yeah.
He's a raging Cajun.
Yeah. The two of them doing each other. while having previously already established themselves to be insane characters to begin with.
Yes.
Exactly. Is very fun.
Like, I wonder how much Cage direction...
Here's a great...
That Travolta received from
Cage. I'm sure.
No, you're not doing it right.
What were you about to say?
We did Wicker Man, the Neil remake starring Nicolas Cage. We've done a lot of Nicolas Cage movies.
Of course.
And Cage's performance in Wicker Man is completely insane. It's up and down and it's crazy. Mm-hmm. And at a certain point, we were like, I feel like what happens is he comes in with something totally bananas. And they have to do take after take to tire him out to get something approaching normal.
Bring it back just a little bit more this time.
And then somebody came. This is what I love about the podcast is the podcast then has enough reach that in the year subsequent to that podcast coming out, somebody who worked on that movie
will come in and tell you.
And they were like, "That's exactly what happened."
Oh my God. They had to do
take after take, just to tire him out
to bring him down.
Because his choices
he's like an 8-year-old kid,
Or
a golden retriever.
Take him to the beach. Yeah,
take him to the beach.
Tire him out.
Run around a little bit, and then he'll be the dog we want him to be.
It's amazing.
I love that.
It's amazing.
The podcast is called How'd This Get Made, and again, you and June and Paul Scheer do such a great job on that. Well, you know, it's interesting because you analyze the minutiae of things that happen and get into debates, and that's really very much this is why I was like you are perfect for this podcast, Dumb People Town. The world is getting dumber as we know it.
Do we have any proof? Have current events?
Current events in the political climate.
Take our word for it. Just take our word for it.
The political climate
aside. I've not been reading the news. Is something going on?
No, not really.
I have not read the news since October 30th. Has anything...
Halloween.
I stopped reading Halloween.
Every Halloween, you stop reading the news.
And then I pick it back up in July or August. No, but so it is getting dumber. And our only way to fight it is through comedy and through trying to break it down. Daniel, you got good. I know you do.
This was sent in by Josh. I apologize, buddy. I've done this before. Mout, MOUAT, at J Mout, or Muat.
Moat.
I apologize either
Moat.
Way.
My favorite champagne.
A barman in Canada's Yukon Territory.
So this guy's on his own.
So he knows people who can really put it away.
Yeah.
Sure. Like, he is furious that a key ingredient to the famed sour toe cocktail has been stolen. That key ingredient is a mummified human toe.
No.
Yes.
So he makes
a cocktail that has a
That human, he drops a toe in it.
Yes.
It's like the worm from the tequila.
He dips a
toe in
it?
Is that cannibalism? No.
Yes.
Do you think that's cannibalism?
If you eat it.
Is it adjacent to cannibalism?
If you eat it.
Isn't it?
If I'm drinking.
If you're just tossing an arm around the yard, you're not a cannibal. But
no,
if you eat that arm.
But you're drinking the drink.
You're drinking toe juice.
Yeah, that's cannibalism.
You know who has that mummified toe? Nicolas Cage.
I believe it.
He went on a mission.
The severed toe.
That's part of the new National Treasure movie.
Have you done those?
It's Abraham Lincoln's toe.
The severed toe.
Have to get it back.
Served at the downtown hotel in Dawson City was stolen by, quote, a lowlife, according to toe captain Terry Lee.
Oh, God. How did he have to, like, run for that? Did he have to be like, I want to, guys, I'm putting my hat in the ring to be toe captain.
I'm a toe corporal right now, but I'm hoping to go
my best foot forward.
The candidates for toe captain will now get 5 minutes each to explain why you should be toe captain.
Why are the toe captain candidates complaining about climate change?
They had, like, a king's moot.
I'm going to come back to this again. This is cannibalism. If you, like, if you eat it, but you're eating.
You're not eating it. You're drinking.
It's just floating in the drink.
It's like
some
part of it.
Some particles.
It's mummified.
Some DNA will come off.
Some toe DNA
is going to then be in your system.
Yes.
Well, Terry Lee digs in. He says, quote,
this is like hooking up, having one gay experience in college to open the door to, like, am I a cannibal?
Just sip it.
Who
just
am
sip
I?
It.
This is the end. This is
he
the
didn't
gateway.
Have sex with me. I didn't give a blowjob, but I drank a little of his semen. Is that a gay experience? That's where we're at
right now.
It's
100% a gay experience. Yeah. I don't think that makes someone gay, but
no,
that's a
but
gay
I mean,
experience.
It's, yeah.
Mr. Lee said, quote, toes are very hard to come by.
Oh, interesting.
And I'm really attached to it.
Well, although quite honestly, he's not. That toe is attached to no
For over four decades, tourists and residents have been able to order an alcoholic cocktail of their choice served with a dissected human toe
that's
floating inside.
What?
Here is a picture of the toe.
Ooh, I don't like it.
In a finished
Wait,
drink.
Wait, so they drink what? And then they finish the drink and then they take the toe back?
No, it gets put in your drink.
Oh, I don't like
and
it.
And then does it go back to the bar at the
yeah.
end of it?
It's traditionally served with Yukon Gold whiskey and must touch the drinker's lips in order to earn a certificate from the bar.
Not worth it.
Okay, listen.
Wait, by the way, that the toe is gone is good.
It's a great...
Like, track down those people. I bet a lot of them have died.
A local saying goes...
A local saying goes... Kiss the toe?
You can drink it fast, you can drink it slow, but your lips must touch that toe.
Toe of the dog, man. Next day, you gotta do that.
This is alarming.
Jan Flato has definitely told women that before. You can drink it fast,
you can drink it slow, but the lips must touch the toe.
Yeah,
that's someone who's like drunk the next morning. He's like, I gotta get a little toenail of the mummy that bit me.
Okay, you guys ready for a fun quiz?
I don't like this.
A little trivia.
Yes.
I wish I hadn't seen the picture.
Oh, we got more pictures.
The picture will be on our Facebook page, by the way.
Yes.
If you want to see if you haven't joined the Dumb People Facebook page.
Don't go look at it.
No, okay. But you
definitely
want to.
Jason,
don't look at it.
You are a guest. I'm going to ask a question.
All right.
And you're going to get to decide if you want to go first or last. Here's the question.
Okay.
Estimated how many people have tasted a drink and touched the toe?
How lip
Do you
want to
go first
toe.
Or last?
I'll go last.
Okay.
Are we playing Price is Right rules?
No. Just closest straight
closest
up.
Okay. You can be over and still closest. Jay, what do you think? How many people have touched the toe?
I'm going to say they're going to round that number to like 3,000.
3,000 people.
3,000?
Yes.
Okay. No, I'm going to say about 500.
500.
Where is this? Yukon?
Yukon.
I'm going to say they're like really big about it and they're going to go like 10,000. 10,000.
10,000?
Okay.
This is their estimate.
How many people?
According, there's no way to know if this is true.
According to the toe captain, Terry.
So yeah, we're guessing based on a lie.
How much is this guy going to lie?
We're guessing on drunk people's.
Yeah.
When has a drunk person ever given a correct estimate about anything?
Well, that was like the guy being like, you know, like drinking, downing, kissing the toe and then looking around and being like, how many other people did it here right now? Right. Like this, what is there, like 600 people in this bar?
No, there's only 20 people in the bar. Yeah, so.
According to toe captain Terry Lee, more than 70,000 people have tasted the sour toe drink.
More than, there are not 70,000 people in Canada.
Yes, no. The entire country.
And it should be called a this
togarita. Bar has been doing this, the bar has been doing this for over 40 years.
No.
Yes.
That's 40? Still not 70,000 okay. people.
I think that
70,000 people have not been in that bar.
I think this should be shut down.
Well, I have,
the bar
I have more bad news for you, Jason Mantzoukas. There are several backup toes available, but the bar staff said this was their newest and their freshest.
What?
What is yes.
the newest? And where are they getting toes?
How did
they
have
got a toe guy?
It's very cold.
This
up
was
there.
Our
you gotta have a toe guy.
Quote: this was our new toe, and it was a really good one. We just started using it this weekend. Hotel manager Jerry Colburn told CBC News.
Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this because I feel like they're acting like, isn't this cute?
Yeah.
Right.
They definitely think it's adorable.
Let me say this. What if there was a bar, right? And the part of the
here
bar
here in LA,
here in LA, and part of the bar's setup was, once you do a shot, you grab a disembodied human arm, and your buddy does too, and you high five with the disembodied arms.
You don't
right?
have to taste it.
You don't have to taste it. You don't have to do anything. But
I would do that.
Wouldn't people be like, That's not
shut
cool.
That down.
Shut up.
You can't have just human
a cadaver
arms.
Arm just hanging around.
You can't just have like a mummified arm that you are high-fiving with.
Yeah.
But yet everybody in fucking Canada can go and kiss some weird toe.
While they drink alcohol. And the alcohol. Does it make the alcohol taste better? I imagine like if you're an alcohol drinker, it would probably make it taste so much
you
worse.
You know someone has swallowed the toe.
Yeah.
It has happened 40 years. Someone has swallowed the toe and shit it out.
Right.
That's cannibalism.
Shit out a toe.
Somebody has done that and has to like wrestle with their conscience the rest of their life. I've eaten human flesh.
That makes
or
me
not,
that.
Or not.
And
wrestling.
I wasn't in a plane crash in Chile.
No,
this was just
this
a
was
choice.
Not warranted. This was
the
just
bar.
Like, my bros dared me, so I took a nibble of a human toe.
Toes before hoes is what people say. If they have to
toes
say
toes before bros and hoes.
They say that the toe that was stolen has an estimated worth of...
Okay, wait.
I know. Jason Mantzoukas, would you like to go first or last in how
I'm
much?
I'm going to say $15,000.
$15,000, Randy
say,
Clark.
I'm going to say $70,000 because I think these people are so drunk.
Do you think they insure
that's
it?
That's the only number that they know.
So do they insure the toe the way that J-Lo?
The toe is insured by Lloyds of London.
Jason Sklar.
I'm going to say $2,000.
They value the toe, which is also part of local folklore, at $60,000.
Thank you!
So 70,000 people have tasted it. $60,000 per toe.
I'm going to now show you a picture of a friendly couple who had just got done finishing the sour toe and are holding it and touching it together.
God. And those two people are dead right now.
Yes.
I guarantee this is like some sort of final destination
this
scenario.
At the very least, they should have shingles.
Is
like
and they should. Everybody's getting the same STD from this toe.
It's like Game of Thrones where like they get grayscale.
Yep.
And just,
yep.
It's oh, man.
It was
over.
Donated.
What, did you watch it last night?
Yes, I did.
Oh, yeah.
It was
Jorah.
It was donated by a man who had it amputated and placed it in salt to cure for 6 months. It is. This is from Mr.
Wait a minute.
That's all it's been is just sitting in salt?
This is not done medically?
No.
This is some dude just put his own toe in salt and then everybody else is like, throw it in my drink, bro. What is happening?
I think Canada, and this is my theory about Canada, Canada is like the United States in the 1970s. A bunch of shit went on in the United States where people are like, finally, they're like, we got to stop doing all this stuff.
Yeah,
because Canada is just like, we're there.
Canada does definitely still have a frontier mentality. In certain parts.
Yukon is one of them.
It is, quote, an institution in Dawson, Mr. Terry Lee said. When someone frigs around with it, there goes our institution.
By the way,
great
verbiage.
Stop
frigging
around with it. Don't frig around.
We just hung out for the weekend, frigging around.
Now, the story goes that in like the early 1900s, two brothers were like walking in a snowstorm and one of them lost their toes in this cabin. Mm-hmm. Then in like the 1960s, this guy bought this cabin and found the toe. Mm-hmm. And as a joke, he was like, you got to put that in your drink when you do that shot. And that's how the ritual began. And they've been doing this ever since.
I don't like it at all.
At least,
I would like it to be retired.
This has to stop.
At least 8 toes have gone missing since the tradition first began in 1973.
What?
When when Yukon riverboat captain Dick Stevenson discovered a preserved tow in his abandoned cabin. Oh, Jason, you called your shot, Jason Mantzoukas. It has been swallowed twice since then, but consuming it is discouraged, and the pub finds culprits.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
Yeah. Someone's going
would
in there.
Would be cannibals? Go to this place.
I know.
Just eat
if
a chunk.
If you want to eat human flesh, go to this place. Don't go on Craigslist
go
looking for people that
bar.
You can, like, cut, like that German guy
you
who,
can
like,
get
cooked your... there, or cannibal cop in New York.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to ask you guys now. Ooh, what do you think,
that HBO documentary. Ooh.
How much is the posted fine for swallowing or stealing the toe?
Okay, the fine.
Do you want to go first or last, Jason Mantzoukas?
I'll go first. What's the posted fine? $500.
$500.
$70,000.
$70,000.
$2,000.
Jason Sklar says $2,000. I'm going to tell you this. The original fine used to be $500.
Oh!
Currently, it's $2,500.
Oh!
And they had to change it in 2013 when a patron gulped back the entire cocktail, toe and all, and then slapped $500 on the table and walked out.
Oh.
Cannibal.
Knew what it was. Cannibal. That is a straight, and by the way,
cannibal
you know
births.
They talk about straight, that is
cannibal
that is straight.
Births.
Boo.
Sorry.
Well, I'll allow it.
Thank you.
The hotel, okay, so now the whole story's happened because this guy walked in 2013 with $500 to eat the toe.
Slap it down.
Now it's gone stolen. All right. The hotel says the suspected toe thief is from Quebec and had earlier boasted about wanting to steal the toe.
He wanted to succeed with the toe.
Yes.
This is like the next Ocean's movie.
Yes.
Exactly. Get the toe back.
Get the toe.
Beware of.
You're going to be in it.
Beware of foreigners in your territory. Like, if someone shows up to this bar, like, hi, they found the bar. They're going for a toe.
Especially when they're saying to everyone
in town,
that they wanted to steal the toe.
Yeah.
Terry Lee says the man reportedly coaxed the bartender to serve him the drink after the nightly 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. toe time. They only serve the toe from 9 to 11
it's
every
like a
day.
A happy hour that is, again, like a cannibal.
Very sad.
Wow. So the toe has negotiated only 2 hours of work?
Yes. They've unionized.
That's
all the toes
great...
unionized. One of the new
staff. Like a child actor.
One of the new staff served it to him to be nice, and this is how he pays her back. The suspect also left behind his sour toe cocktail certificate awarded by the hotel, so police have his name. This person's not a good thief.
Not a good thief.
It after he gave the bar. The bar is at a hotel. Is this the greatest hotel bar of all time?
This is...
By the way, this place should be shut down.
The hotel should be shut down. Everything associated with it should be shut down.
Like, if you were like, oh, if you were checking into a hotel,
right,
and the person at the front desk gave you your key, okay, how many keys do you want? Yeah, okay, great, here's
the Wi-Fi
if
code.
If you would like to put your lips against the mummified human flesh while you're here and drink a drink that a toe has been in,
here's
please go to our lobby bar.
9 and 11.
Please go to Champs.
Yes.
Whatever.
What do you think the Yelp page looks like for this bar?
I have no idea.
It's just a whole bunch of severed.
Just a lot of pictures of people drinking a fucking drink with a floating toe.
I think they should call the bar Kicking It.
Is there a nail in the toe?
Yep. Yes. Toenail.
Yeah, that's still on there.
Gross.
I agree.
Guys, there's like a million, whatever, there's 70,000 people now who have like a fungal infection.
I know, like they're going to be dead.
This is how it starts.
They also serve a drink that has like Lamisil in it.
Give me a couple shots of the tough acting tenactin. Yeah.
Now for my favorite part of every episode of Unsolved Mysteries. Update.
Oh, good.
The toe has been returned.
Yes. Oh, that's good. What has happened to it? Where has it been?
Called the cops and the downtown hotel and apologized, then mailed the toe back to the bar and no charges are being filed.
That's
another, like, the most candid part where the cops are like, you got your toe back? All right, fine.
Victimless crime.
Oh, also.
Except for the person who lost the toe. So we were up in San Francisco and we were doing this podcast, Finding the Funny, where we're trying to write comedy about what we've experienced in San Francisco. We went to the Castro and we go to this one of the last leather stores that just sell all these things.
It's so expensive in the Castro, no more leather stores.
And I personally was
like real estate.
It's just pleather.
It's just
pleather. They can't afford to stock leather even. So we go in and I was a little nervous, like, oh, is he not going to be forthright or does he not want us to record him in there? And then I was like, No, he is working at a leather store in the Castro.
His life is an open book.
And he's going to have the best stories in the world.
And he did.
And of course.
He was amazing. And I was like, oh, this guy doesn't care about tiny little, you know, like, oh, you can't record in here, or I'm not going to sign a release. Like, that's not that guy. So these people, when they get the tow back, are not going to file charges. They're like, we're doing something that is against human nature.
Yes.
We're not going to then tell the police that, hey, we got
It's literally human trafficking.
Yes.
Right?
And not for nothing, this dude mailed a human toe. Just like
Canada
through
the...
Canada is like going for it.
I know. Man, I'm impressed. That's a great story.
Story one.
Man.
Story one down in the book.
Jesus.
Toe down.
It's a, I will say it's a slippery slope.
It is. Start it with a toe. Suddenly you're like,
suddenly you're mailing ankles, peni, the whole thing. There it goes.
How long until like you're drinking your drink out of like a penis straw?
Yeah,
that is literally just a disembodied penis.
Urethra.
Yeah. You just drink it out of the urethra. Yeah. Who knows? Okay, Jason Mantzoukas is with us. This is Dumb People Town. First story down in the books. Maybe later on the show we'll even hear from Nicolas Cage himself.
That'd be great.
Because he might have something to say about his performance.
He's a friend of the show.
Yeah, he is. So we'll be back with more Dumb People Town right after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Hey guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town. As we mentioned, we'll put the toe pictures on the Facebook page if you can handle it. You can handle it. Hey, thanks for rating and reviewing. As you know, Jason Mantzoukas, when you rate and review and subscribe to a podcast, it just helps keep you up in the charts. Your podcast, How'd This Get Made, is consistently in the top of the iTunes comedy charts, and with good reason if you haven't checked out his podcast.
So rate and review it, please, guys.
Yeah,
is that we're advocating that people rate and review my podcast?
Yes, as well.
Great.
Yes.
Great.
Do
as
it. Well as ours.
Of course.
Before we get into this next story, I wanted to share. I mentioned this to you guys. So the Facebook page is growing all the time. Every time I go on there, it's more people are liking
it. People are interacting so much on it.
Yes, and getting so much. We got sent a really nice heartfelt message, which will dovetail perfectly into the hilarity we do after. But I wanted to share it with you guys. And I'm sure with all your podcasts, you just run into and you meet people at fans or at live shows where you realize how much positivity are goofing around can
how
like
much do you love doing the live
lives?
Show by the way.
Oh, I love live shows.
Live shows are because you're
live shows.
You come from the from
I
doing
do.
UCB and
I
doing
do.
It live, and all you guys are great performers live.
It's very fun. I like the studio. You know what? I like that we do both.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to do one or the other exclusively. I like that we get to do both.
Because it's like exercising.
But you know, sometimes you just meet people who kind of went through some stuff and they say like listening to How Did This Get Made or listening to Dumb People Town like
gets them through a difficult time.
So I know it's heartbreaking. We've gotten letters that have been devastating.
Yeah.
You know?
And it's just great to know, like, oh, our goofing, it can
actually
matter a little bit out
there.
Right. So I wanted to read you guys a cool little message. And Jason, like I said, I'm sure you understand it. It comes from Susie, and she wrote, hey, Dan, I'm assuming you're reading this. If not, oops, she assumed correctly. Mm-hmm. She said, I wanted to let you guys know about something. I appreciate this show so much. I just left a review saying I've been listening since day one. It's the only podcast I've listened to consistently for the past 5 years. So obviously the show used to have a different incarnation. Mm-hmm. She goes back with us there. She says, right now, this podcast is helping me laugh after losing my fiance to brain cancer 6 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. He was a huge fan of the show, and we listened to it together. We saw the Sklars a couple times in San Francisco, too. This might be creepy, but as far as I know, the Dan Harmon episode of Dumb People Town was his last podcast. But Dumb People Town makes me feel more connected to him and our previous life, reminding me of road trips and lazy nights at home while listening and laughing. Of course, everything is shitty, and I'm navigating through rough waters, but Matt valued humor so much, and I know he wanted me to continue with my life. Listening to Dumb People Town Weekly has been the absolute best people way to do that. So please know that your fun and silly show can really do a lot for your listeners. This has done so for me. You, Randy, and Jason have a fan for life. I look forward to meeting you someday at a town hall and hopefully grabbing a drink or afterwards as well. Take care and thank you for helping me get through this terrible time in my life. Laughter is an incredible thing, and I'll never take it for granted. Susie. And obviously, I asked her permission to read that, but I just was like, this is
it.
You know, we talk about like getting the dumb out a little bit and like calling out, letting the air out of the dumb bag in this country and then goofing around. And so a credit to the work that you do with How Did This Get Made and comedy in general and to you guys on this show. And I wanted to let you know that.
What a great, that's.
Thank you, Susie.
You don't realize your impact on what, you know.
Oh, no.
How you get people through their difficult parts of their days or their lives.
And, absolutely.
But you're probably, you consume podcasts as well.
I do.
Sure you listen to them as well. And they
it's so interesting to me that, and I love it, but that people feel about me the way I feel about other podcasters radio shows or whatever. Like I will say, like, podcasting or radio, you know, macro radio is such an intimate thing, and it is so just like an audio format is so intimate, and people develop, and we're all being versions of ourselves.
Yeah,
we're
sure.
not playing characters for the most part,
right?
And so people feel an intimacy with you, and like they're getting to know you cumulatively over years now. Like, you guys have been doing this for
seven, eight years.
Yeah, same. Yeah, you know,
exactly.
We started around the same time, doing podcasts, and it's people have been along for the ride, and they're tracking your lives, you know, all of it. So it's wild to me to realize, oh, people exactly are going about their lives, having in like Susie and Matt, having a lazy drive or making dinner at home on a Sunday night or whatever, that they're doing that listening to me the way that I do it, listening to
Ira Glass.
Ira Glass or Terry Gross or PJ and Alex on Reply All or any of these shows that I become obsessed with.
Realize how people use it. I was coming home from San Francisco, and I took the early, you know, I have to take the earliest flight to get back to my kids and family, so at least I can have the Sunday if I've been gone for a couple of days. So I was taking a 6:50 a.m. flight out of Oakland, which means, so I asked the person at the hotel, what time do I have to get up? Meanwhile, it's 2:30 in the morning when I'm getting home from doing
my whole thing.
Because
you're raging.
Rage is
fucking raging, bro.
I'm kissing the toe that night, right?
Yeah, bro.
So I come back and they're like, how long is it going to take to get to the airport from here, from in San Francisco to Oakland? He's like, an hour. Give yourself an hour. I was like, at that time of day, an hour? Yeah, you need an hour. So I slept for 2 hours and 15 minutes, got up at 4:45, got in the car, tried to meditate in the car on the way there, thinking I'll have a whole hour to get to the thing. Guy got me there in 25 fucking minutes.
Oh, no.
So I go to the airport, and I'm like at the Oakland airport so early, and I'm mad. I'm like, I might fall asleep. I might miss my flight. I could have slept more. I was really upset. And I listened to our friend's podcast, Guys We Fucked. These guys.
Oh, yeah.
I love that podcast.
Show. Yeah, it's great.
And I was listening to it. I listened to it while I was the only person in the gate for so long until that. It was like before the crew got there to set up.
People are looking at you like, that guy's been here all night. That's like, right. No, I've been here an hour. I just got here waiting.
My hotel guy told me to come early. It's not. And I listened to the podcast, and it got me through that little tiny little period. I'm not comparing it to anything. I'm just saying I know how people.
No, you've suffered.
I know
you've suffered, and a podcast got you through.
I know how people use them. And so I completely understand that and appreciate how we exist in those lives. So
I mean, I always said to people, it's like, we're here to have, to just have fun. We're the funnel cake.
Yeah.
Like, come to us and we'll just goof. You want to goof?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Let's goof.
Yeah. And it makes
powdered sugar on top of a fried piece of bread. That's what we're doing.
It really is. And it makes me so happy that people, you know, love
consume
it.
Consume it that way.
People have, like, have made us a part of their lives.
Right.
Totally.
Yeah. You know?
Okay. Makes you want to do more of them. All right. Speaking of.
Oh, this guy. This is a sad tale. Not sad, isn't it? It's sad, haha.
Mm-hmm.
Sent in by Masta the Gravekeeper at Panda Gravy. So many great
names.
Sounds
like a 1990s rapper who, like, got cut out of the Ghetto Boys.
Sure.
Like, Masta the Gravekeeper.
Panda Gravy.
At Panda Gravy.
At Panda Gravy.
Yes, all right. I love it.
Masta the Gravekeeper.
Panda semen? What is Panda Gravy?
Panda Gravy, I'm assuming, is just like the juices when you're cooking panda. The juices that come off of it, you take those and you mix
them.
Put them
back onto the meat.
Exactly.
It's savory and sweet.
Did you see that thing? Speaking of dumb people, the guy in China that jumped into a panda.
Yes, did
you do that on the show?
No, we haven't. What happened?
He jumped into a panda enclosure and was savagely mauled by pandas.
Oh,
no doy.
No doy.
Even though they look cute as all get out, they are still bears.
The savage animals.
But a panda cooking in its own gravy is usually
delicious.
Of the most moist.
So delicious.
One of the most. So
it's an off menu item at Panda Express.
it's the way
other,
off.
The other.
Slather that in panda gravy.
The other dark meat. All right, so.
June 16th, convinced that one of his neighbors was stealing items from his mailbox, Now,
you know,
I'm about to follow that.
How many conspiracy theories does this guy have at any given moment?
His name is going to be perfect for what I just read. Convinced that one of his neighbors was stealing from his mailbox, Nicholas Dibble.
Nicky Dibbs.
Yeah.
By the way, that is what I would call, if you have a theory about your neighbor, it's called dibbling.
Yeah. Nick, do you think if he has sex twice in one night, he says to his partner, "You got double dibbling."
Double dibbling. No double dibbling. No double dibbling.
And you know what else? The three words that come after his name are also the only way to describe anything he does.
Nicky Dibbs.
He was stealing items from... He's convinced that one of his neighbors was stealing items from his mailbox. Nicholas Dibble hatched a plot.
Yeah. But this is the type of guy that's like, so... He's like, I got a neighbor that's stealing items out of my mailbox, so I went and bought 60 guns. You're like, whoa. Yeah. Slow down.
Dibble.
I brought like invisibility cream. I don't think.
Dibble, a Floridian.
Oh, boy.
Here we are. Yeah.
This definitely ends in him shooting someone.
Close.
Meth or between his toes.
Put a landmine under his mailbox.
Suspected that his mail was being swiped as retaliation by neighbors upset at him that he had called police about criminal activity and in his Bradenton neighborhood.
Yep.
Oh, so he's a tattletale.
Yeah. So narc. You know what snitches get? Their mail stolen.
In an interview... Nicholas Dibble, which I'm sure went very, he probably kept going way off topic. In an interview, Nicholas Dibble referred to, quote, the drug dealer across the street and the woman who runs a prostitution house next door.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the government is trying to control us through Starbucks. Let's focus on the mailbox.
Who's
stealing?
And you know that interview took place in his front yard and he yelled those parts. The drug dealer across the street.
There he is right there.
Right. And the woman who runs the house of prostitution next door, Nicholas Dibble.
It is, to be fair to Nicholas Dibble, it is Florida.
Yeah, I know. What do you expect?
Every neighborhood, I suspect you can point to a drug dealer and a prostitute.
If it's not a cell phone, like this is Verizon store, it's a place where people are fucking.
This is what we said about Florida. Do not go 5 minutes in any direction.
Yeah.
Stay where you are. If you're fine, don't go 5 minutes that way because it's going to be, you go 5 minutes that way, it's going to be bad. If you're in the ocean on a paddle
You're the safest.
Don't
go 5 minutes out that way. There's a meth lab down in the thing.
Nicholas Dibble also sounds like one of the first victims of Voldemort from Harry Potter.
Oh, sure. Yes.
Nicholas Dibble, the sad tale of Nicholas Dibble.
He totally
Voldemort made him eat his own Horcrux.
Yes, exactly. Nicholas Dibble is a Horcrux.
And the Horcrux across the street.
He slips it in. I see your ass slithering on up to my mailbox.
Slithering.
The Horcrux of the matter is that where we're at.
Let's get down to the Horcrux.
Nicholas Dibble told The Smoking Gun he has lived in the neighborhood for 25 years, adding that he worked nearly 40 years.
Does The Smoking Gun still exist?
Yes. Worked nearly 40 years as a meat cutter for the Publix supermarket chain.
Got Publix. We know Publix. Florida.
Meat cutter.
In what seemed, this is perfect setup.
Does not seem like a guy I'd want to have access to like.
It's Todd Barry's character in
from
the
Wrestler.
From
The Wrestler, yeah.
In what must have seemed a brilliant idea.
Who needs his own movie.
Yeah.
Now is the time. Yes. We need that character's movie.
Oh, hell yes.
In what must have seemed a brilliant idea at the time, Nicholas Dibble placed a mouse trap inside his mailbox and raised the red flag. The goal, as the police report notes, was to catch someone stealing his mail.
The problem is he fucked up a USPS.
Yeah.
USPS. Yeah, like a mail carrier.
So basically, he pulled a prank.
Yeah.
Basically, he pulled like a kid prank on the mailman.
Although, have you had mice in your house or anything?
Yes, in the past. Yes.
Okay. Have you seen a mousetrap go off recently?
No.
Okay. I have tripped a mouse. We had some in our garage because we had some issues with mice like coming under the garage door and whatnot. And I accidentally, it didn't go off on my foot, but I accidentally set one off. They go so, there is no way, like that could kill a small dog. Like that's how quickly
they're intense.
Oh my God.
The mousetrap game has really evolved.
Trying to break a neck. If he's putting a mousetrap in his, he is going to fuck up someone's, like, this could be the new drink in Canada, like a severed finger.
The mousetrap finger.
Nicholas Dibble, investigators noted, had planned to make the mail carrier aware of the trap.
Oh.
Had planned to make
the mail carrier. I was gonna tell.
Look, it's on my to-do list.
Yes.
I almost.
However, since this is Florida, this is what they wrote. However, since this is Florida, Dibble's plan, of course, backfired.
Wow.
I love that even the news, Florida. Even the press is like, right. We get it. It's Florida.
Enter Cynthia Humphreys Smith.
Oh, no.
Who, in my mind, is just
she's
not taking this shit.
Oh, yeah. She just got her finger pale.
She is too old.
She just got flowers on every fingernail.
A 37-year-old poster worker.
37.
Came a different route and different time last Friday, police reported. Mm-mm. When she reached into the mailbox to retrieve the outgoing mail, her hand slammed into the trap. Humphrey Smith, who suffered, quote, pain and throbbing in the hand, told police that her hand, this is the saddest part, she told police that that same hand had just recently healed from being broken.
From another mouse trap
in a different mailbox. Yeah.
Nicholas Dibble running out. I got your hand! Oh, shit!
By the way, that could be a whole video thing like Girls Gone Wild, like mailbox mouse traps.
By the way, you're right, sadly.
And I guarantee you there would be like a group of people who would masturbate to that.
I guarantee there is, if you Google like mousetrap penis torture, there is a fetish for it.
I guarantee it. I'm Googling it right now.
Yeah.
Do you want that on your phone?
Jay? No. Okay, it's all right. But it is kind of funny.
Just Google it. Come on.
Google it and clear your history.
Exactly. No. Your wife is going to be like, Jason, can I talk to you about your search history?
That's literally...
I'm into the same thing.
By the way, what's happening right now is a figurative mailbox mousetrap.
Yes.
That he is now putting himself
into.
He is reaching in and he's about to get
he's
slammed.
He's like, I meant to tell my wife.
Catching cock with mousetrap.
Oh, God.
Torturing cock shaft with mousetrap.
Oh, kids.
Shaft porn.
Shaft porn?
On an ex-hamster. Torturing cock. There's a lot.
There's a lot. You're saying it's an industry.
Yeah.
I'm saying I put that in and there are multiple sites. Right?
It's a cockage industry.
That is so.
When police arrived at Nicholas Dibble's residence, he was in danger. Oh, go ahead.
She still had the trap on her hand.
And she's like, check this shit out. He was in danger of being arrested for battery, but Nicholas Dibble said, quote, the sweet woman did not want to file charges against me. Asked about the execution of his mousetrap gambit, Nicholas Dibble said, well, it caught the wrong person. So he still wanted credit for how well it worked.
Victory, but with an asterisk.
Right. While not facing a criminal charge, Dibble's mousetrap stunt resulted in a swift sanction from the United States Postal Service. Employees will no longer deliver mail to his residence. He's blacklisted. Yeah, I didn't even know that was a thing.
He's got to go get a mailbox. Which, by the way, he should have done in the first place.
Yes.
Go get a mailbox, et
cetera. Or put a mail slot on your front door.
Thank you.
Complaining that a lack of transportation would make it difficult for him to retrieve his mail, Nicholas Dibble groused, I am the victim.
You're not the victim.
He is. I'm going to ask you guys right now, how old is Nicholas Dibble?
Okay. All right. There were some facts in there.
72.
72 from Jason Mantzoukas.
Said 40 years he's been working. I think he's 66.
66 from Jason Mantzoukas.
72 feels almost a little too old.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think he's
But it's Florida.
I think he's 60.
60? Nicholas Dibble is 63 years old.
Oh! Yeah. Right between us.
Yes. You guys split on the diff.
Pretty good.
Split
the diff.
Yeah, you know, right, he seemed spry enough that he would hatch a ridiculous
thing. I feel bad that people don't like, you know, packages getting stolen off your doorstep. That's like a thing.
Sure,
I mean, and now
what do they call that? Like porch pirates?
Call people. Is that a real thing?
Yeah. People who steal Amazon
and it's
delivery.
Only going to get worse because
we're only shopping more online.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So that's going to happen and it comes when you're not there. And so, like, either something's got to change where packages start delivering at night when people are there, or
someone's going to invent, like, the package shell, and it's just a thing that everyone has.
Big box.
Yeah, a big box.
A mailbox that is lockable or
put
something.
On your porch and it looks like a bush or something. You know what I mean? Like that, open it up and then you tell
your
mail.
That's going to be a whole industry. Or you have a thing that you try and catch the person and it's like one of those.
Well, there's all these
like
things.
The bank robbery thing and you open it up and paint splatters in the face.
There are all these videos of people rigging like crazy traps for those people.
Yeah, yeah. Porch traps.
Yeah.
Like mouse to catch the big mouse.
Yep. Well,
that's not Nicholas Dibble.
Nicholas Dibble is
Nicky
a great
Dibbs.
Nicky Dibbs. All right.
Oh, well, you're in trouble now. Nicky Dibbs wants to talk to you.
Nicky Dibbs wants you to come
in.
Got
a trap for you.
So, all right. That's it. Story number two, down in the books.
Yes.
When we come back, we got one final story. Is it a quick one? What are we looking at, Dan? Anything fun in that new story that you can tease with?
The best thing gets stolen in the best place.
Okay. Love it. You got that to look forward to after the break. And then voicemail.
Boobs in Santa's workshop?
You're close.
Plus a voicemail from Nicolas Cage, who is going to tell us why Face Off was maybe his greatest performance ever right after this.
Stick around. Make a sound. There's more Dumb People Town.
Guys, welcome back to Dumb People Town. It's great to have you. If you want to follow Jason Mantzoukas on Twitter.
Followable on Twitter. Followable, no.
Not follow on Twitter.
No.
Not on Instagram.
I'm on no social media whatsoever.
Why the
not
choice?
Even on Facebook.
That's great. You're
off it all.
I was give it
done.
To
done. Never signed up for any of it.
Handwritten letters.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. I am not, I'm not tempted. I'm not, there's nothing about it that is compelling to me.
Mm-hmm. Good.
And you probably get to have a lot of conversations because people are like, hey, did you hear? And you're like, no.
No.
And
then the answer is always no. Tell me about it.
I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
I'm the most willing listener.
I do feel, though,
ever.
Like, I do feel I have, like, consciously removed myself. I've inserted obsolescence into my life in a way that everybody is participating in something.
Sure.
I've, in opting out, recognized that I am now not a part of a thing.
Right. Well, I mean, look, and I will say this.
Is it something you really need to be a part of?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
I'm not.
Certainly not. It doesn't affect the way you live or breathe. And it also doesn't.
You would think, though, that it does for people.
But it also doesn't affect the way you, get your work. It's not like because I'm not tweeting, I'm not getting more work. It doesn't. It obviously
it's irrelevant
to you. Yeah.
Yes.
So there you go. So don't follow him on anything.
Don't follow me on anything. If you want to, you can follow him. I think my podcast, I think How Did This Get Made has a Twitter.
Yeah, please follow that.
Follow that.
Watch the
and
league.
And listen to the podcast.
Watch the league and watch
the league.
That.
You were so good in the league.
So good. All right.
You ready?
What do you got?
Last sent in story. By Kim Fritz.
Love her.
From Kimberly Fritz.
Fritzy.
Fritzy and her mom
came
out
to Cleveland from Pittsburgh.
Oh, nice.
That's how much they,
oh my gosh.
They came to Cleveland from Pittsburgh to see us.
Isn't that great?
They are amazing. She's amazing. Her mom's amazing. Thank you, Kim Fritz. And she always is like, you know, ironically, we were just having an anti-Twitter thing, but like, she is so supportive of us whenever we put stuff out there in the world. So,
and I don't even want to be anti-Twitter.
It's not anti-Twitter.
No,
it's
everybody else, Twitter is great. It's just, I think, not for me.
Not for you.
Great.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Mm-hmm. Been there.
Mm-hmm.
Been there.
Bill Clinton.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes.
Police say a mall store employee is recovering after a woman bit her while attempting to steal a stripper pole.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm going to stop and say, nice forward thinking, Arkansas having a female security guard.
Nope.
Also,
you've gone too far.
A mall
forward.
That sells stripper poles? Is that what you were thinking?
I'm going to say a mall store that sells stripper poles.
I didn't even know that malls were still open.
An employee, as though you even need to ask, an employee said she was working at Spencer's Gifts.
Of course.
Of course.
Yes.
I was going to say Spencer's Gifts.
Yes.
Or it would have been that or Claire's Boutique.
Yeah. Fake vomit or like pole position or something like that.
Panties. I remember going to Spencer's Gifts and there was like edible panties.
Yeah.
When I was a kid and being like, what?
I said this before. I remember going to Spencer's, going to the back corner, moving all those posters to one side.
Oh, yeah.
Clink. And just looking through
a Marilyn Monroe.
Because there would be like a Samantha Fox. Mm-hmm. There would be a Samantha Fox
Kathy Ireland.
Like basically topless.
Kathy Ireland just looking gorgeous.
Oh, and by the way, Samantha Fox, if you looked at that post today, you're like, okay, knowing what I know about how celebrities get shot versus like what they are, she probably is about 4'10".
Yeah.
Am I right? Like,
probably.
There's no way she's above 5 feet.
Yeah. Oh, no way.
They made her look tall, but you're like, no.
You're a tiny person.
Tiny torso.
An employee said she was working at Spencer's.
Huge jugs, though.
Humongous.
Huge jugs. She's like 80% jugs.
Yeah.
Jugs is also the appropriate term whenever Spencer's Gift is like
it's
part of the conversation.
Jugs, yeah.
Yeah.
If she had released a new album, it should have been called Top Heavy.
Yeah, sure.
That would have been a good name.
All right.
She was working at Spencer's in the Park Plaza Mall in Little Rock when the suspect came in and tried to return an item for cash or store credit. The employee told police she recognized the woman because she had suspected her of previously stealing from the store.
So I steal from the store, then I come back to return it to get the exact same store.
This poor person is living a harrowing life.
Yes. Yeah, no, there's nothing going right in that person's life.
They're stealing mail from Nicholas Dibble.
They're coming back.
According to the store manager, the woman decided she would rather take a stripper pole in place of store credit. However, she did not have enough money. The woman then became frustrated and attempted to leave the store with the stripper pole.
I got it. I got it. I'm good.
Debbie came in to this store with one goal. She is not leaving.
Yeah.
She's like, I'm going to get that stripper pole.
I'm getting the pole. And it's a collapsible pole. It's one of those things where you, I think, right? It's one of those things where you kind of like an old fishing rod and you just kind of screw it up.
Like a tension pole?
Yeah, yeah. A tension pole. Like a shower rod, right?
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm picturing.
The vertical shower rod is
the employee. Chased her into the common area of the mall and wrestled the pole from the suspect. So now imagine, we are now in front of the Cinnabon and Natural Wonders store with a woman with a stripper pole and another woman fighting over the, and no one knows the context of this fight.
If you imagine, like, you're the person who is just like working the pretzel cart and you're like, what is my life?
And you look over at your best friend who works at the Great Steak and Potato Company who's like, I don't know, man.
Me either.
I told you, we gotta get out of this town.
But look, like, how much does this employee who has no stake in the business?
None.
If you own Spencer Gifts, you're like, we got great employees.
Can you imagine? You work at Spencer Gifts and you have to suffer the indignities of being bitten by someone, maybe a rabid person,
right?
Who wants a stripper pole? Oh.
The employee chased her to the common area of the mall and wrestled the pole from the suspect.
This might as well be called Sad People Town.
Today, who then bit her on the upper right arm during the altercation. I'm going to ask you guys right now, how much does a stripper pole from Spencer's cost?
Ooh.
What was the value that we were fighting over? First or last,
$70,000. Just kidding.
I'm going to say like $37.
$37.
That's way too low. This is a $120 item.
$120
I say
from Jason Sklar.
$69.99.
That's some on-brand marketing for Spencer's Gifts.
Because they're like, if we make it 70, people aren't going to want to buy it. If it's in the 60s, we might be able to really move.
We get a laugh every time someone rings it up.
We might be able to move these.
If you buy a stripper pole from Spencer's, do you walk in with just all ones and throw them in the air?
That's right.
Is that the proper way to buy it?
Stripper pole and some of that vanilla cologne.
Okay.
How many stripper poles have we moved this week, Jeff?
Everybody, play along at home. Get your answer in. The stripper pole from Spencer's costs retail value $40.
Yeah!
Oh, Jason Mantzoukas!
Thank God.
It's like, can you do it with
nothing in Spencer Gifts costs more than $50.
That's right, including your dignity. Yeah. And this woman is like running after. So she ran at some point.
As soon as the pole leaves the store, I'm like, I'll call security.
We lost that one, though.
Yeah, that's gone. Mall security was contacted,
Love, like, the woman who stole it running around the shopping mall, like, she's got, like, a jousting pole.
Yeah.
Like, taking people out. Boom, 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 boom.
Mall security was contacted, but they were unsuccessful in locating the
shocking
suspect. Yeah. The suspect is described
as... does she look like? She's running around with a pole.
She is described as a female, approximately 5 feet, 3 inches tall, 120 pounds with
long
curly...
Hold on a second. This could be Samantha Fox.
She sounds pretty cool.
Long curly black hair, brown eyes. She wore a salmon shirt or dress. How do you not know? And a denim jacket at the time, which
is... She sounds cute. Is she single? What's her deal?
What's going on?
She's a dancer. She believes in personal fitness.
We don't know if she's a dancer.
We don't know much.
We just know she wants a stripper pole.
That's true.
And she's bringing back things.
My guess is she's stealing it for someone else. Because you don't
You think it's a gift?
I think it's. I thought it was more like a pimp. Like, you get me that stripper pole.
I think she is a drug addict who is just stealing things she thinks she can sell.
Turn around and resell for more money.
Maybe.
$40 is $40.
No suspects were named, and no arrests have been made at the time of the report. She's in the wind. Just another Spencer's unsolved crime.
Cold case.
Spencer cold case files.
I mean, Spencer's, and if you noticed, Spencer's store's stock went down
Oh, for big time.
$40.
I imagine. I love that both of the scholars, you guys both mentioned, like, why this woman has no vested interest in this. So I imagine her running out and the manager just being like, let it go. We had 10 more of those.
She runs out and you're going to get bit.
You're going to get bit.
And the talk when she comes back is, you care too much.
You
care way too much.
It's just Spencer gifts.
None of us need Spencer's gifts.
It's not Karen's gifts. Don't worry.
When it becomes Karen's gifts, then you can start chasing people down like your TJ Hooker, because they would have thrown that reference out
there.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's for all you young kids.
That's right. Now, as we mentioned, we talked a little bit about Nicolas Cage before, as his movies are just on another level. And we have a direct pipeline of Nicolas Cage. Sometimes he calls in, leaves voicemails on the phone. I would love to hear his take on Face Off and what that movie meant to him. Yeah, all of his movies. Yeah. Whatever he's talking about, I'm buying into. Let's take a listen.
Hey, Ray Ray and J-Bones, it's your boy, Nick Cage. Hey, look, I don't often like to reflect on my life because it's just been one just insane ride of fucking insanity. But somebody told me that it was 20 years ago this year that the movie Face Off came out, you get it. And it got me thinking about my time on that set of that movie, Face Off, and how often I was in the persona of John Travolta. You know, I walked around set, I told everyone to refer to me as John Travolta, and I would often walk around and people would say, like, hey, we're ready for you on set, Mr. Cage, and I'd be like, no, I'm John Travolta. And then someone would be like, you're needed in court for a bankruptcy hearing, Mr. Nicolas Cage, and I'm like, I'm not Nicolas Cage, I'm John Travolta. And like, one time I would go to like the grocery stores and people would be like, can we, you know, this card is rejected, Mr. Cage, and I said, I'm not Mr. Cage, I'm John Travolta. And people didn't believe it, but I said, believe it. And then when the movie came out, of course, everyone saw how excellent and how seamless it was, that if you were able to just basically close your eyes and listen to my performance, you just were like, holy shit, that's John Travolta. Well, guess what? No, it's Nicolas Cage. Hey, look, yeah, I don't know what you guys are doing this weekend, but there's that thing happening down in San Diego, which I did not get invited to, Comic-Con. Seriously, fuck those dudes. But I'm starting my own convention here in Vegas, because Vegas is the greatest place in the whole world. I mean, where else can you have a fire volcano in your house and wear a really tight shirt with long sleeves and a dragon on it? Vegas, baby. So I'm going to have my own convention here. It's called Cage-Con. And guess what it's all about? No, it's not about jail cells. It's all about Nick Cage, because I'm Nick Cage, and that's why it's called Cage Kong. You get it? Boom. Yeah, that was the sound of an explosion from Con Air. Listen, so this Cage Con is going to be all the best hits from my life. You get to celebrate all the great movies I've been in, all the heroes I've been in. You don't have to go down to Comic Con and see all 55 people in the Avengers. However, if they did ask me to do the Avengers, I'd be there in a heartbeat. I will bring the Ghost Rider against Thanos and the Guardians of the Galaxy, the Ghost Rider, Johnny Blaze. Would love to ride, but no, forget about that. I want to be Cage Con, Vegas, me, real heroes. I'm going to come out dressed in my light-up Superman, the Tim Burton Tim Burton Superman movie that I almost did, where the Superman suit lights up. Look online, you'll find video of that. What actually was something that Tim Burton and I were proposing. Okay, I'm about to go have an embolism and might need to go to a hospital, but whatever, dudes. Just come out to Vegas this weekend. Cage Con, it's going off. Face Off. I'm John Travolta. I mean, Nick Cage. Out.
All right. Every time I hear him, I
feel like I know more and less of what I was just like a combination of more. And he also is somebody who looks looks simultaneously older and younger than he is.
Have you seen the video of him and Vince Neil getting
in the stop Vince Neil from doing something? Yes. That is my great.
Really amazing.
It made me want to live in Vegas for 5 minutes just to be around those guys.
I agree. I want to live that life. I want to have lived in their world for like 2 years.
So the Raiders are going to be in Vegas, okay?
Is that true?
Yeah, okay. The Oakland Raiders moving to Vegas, and Vegas is getting a professional hockey team, the Golden Knights. I think you're going to see Vince Neil, because Vince Neil did like celebrity ice skating, didn't he do that?
Uh-huh.
You're going to see Vince Neil and Nicolas Cage just showing up at all these like gay events, and Vince Neil is going to be slapping people, and he's going to be trying to take him down.
I'm like, I'm thrilled for that.
No, all that is good.
Add Carrot Top into the mix, and I'm excited.
All of it is good for the universe.
A trunk full of props. Guys, what a great show. Thank you so much, Jason Mantzoukas.
Thank you for having
me, guys. Kissing that toe, buddy.
Dude, you are the perfect guest to have on the show, and I think you're one of those rare people that we will definitely have back.
Please do.
Thank you again. Good luck with all the stuff that you're working on all the time. And Daniel, you too.
Thanks, buddy.
And go ahead.
I was just going to let people really know, coming out at the 208 Comedy Festival, I'll be headlining that. You can check that out, 208 Comedy. It's the
Boise.
Yeah, it's in Boise.
September 8th and 9th. You'll be there, and we'll be in Tulsa. So
yeah, sorry, there's two places to come see us.
That's right. All right, guys, thank you. You can check all of our dates at supersquares.com, and we will see you next week.
Let's get back to work. Dum, 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 dum.